Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Harry Koops brings a message titled, Who Are We? What We Do in Christ, from scriptures found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. This is Kevin Van Heukelom inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
What a blessing to welcome you and to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship and praise the only one who is worthy of our praise and adoration. And this morning's a special morning, and I just feel it when I came in. I'm not up here all by myself. I think we should give a nice welcome to the choir and Paul as they're back this Sunday. I'm not sure when the expansion program starts so we can get more people in the choir, but it's pretty cool to see it all full. If you're visiting with us today, we greet you. We're glad you're here. We hope that you're really blessed through this service and experience God's Spirit touching your heart. And you know, the ad always says it's a good time to come here. We have coffee and cookies on the house, but if you came today, you picked a real winner because we're having a potluck. And we invite you all to stay for that. There's always plenty of food. Don't worry about that. Or we'll cut the cake just a little bit smaller. But invite everyone. I just really hope everyone will come downstairs and have the time of fellowship as we have our potluck meal. We'll try to get downstairs a little after 11. If you can go down right away, and there'll be coffee and cookies down there to get you started, kind of tide you over. And then we'll come downstairs and have an opening prayer and have our meal and just also talk about some of the things that are available at 8th Reformed Church and places you can plug in and enjoy and be strengthened in your faith walk. And a time like this is always really good for fellowship. And so I hope you don't sit by all the people you already know. Look around when you come downstairs and say, are there some people here I don't know? Let me sit by them, and we'll have a meal together and get to know each other a little bit over the meal. I just really invite and encourage you to do that. If you're visiting with us today, I also invite you to sign the guest book. If you go right through those doors, there's a little shelf there off the wall. There's a guest book. If you'd be willing to sign that, we would sure appreciate that. And I should mention that as we go downstairs, if stairs are a challenge for you, there is a lift over in that corner, and there are people there to help you operate it. So there's no reason not to come down and be part of that fellowship. I also want to say good morning and greet all those who join us via Jethro Radio, and we're so happy to have that outreach to share the good news of who Jesus is via the airwaves. And then we also have Jethro.fm, so that's over the internet, and we have YouTube, so there's all kinds of ways you can tune in and participate in worship with us. And if you enjoy the CDs or want a copy of one, those are available as well. If you hear this announcement about being one of our Jethro listeners through whatever means, but you're able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation and come and be part of our church family. We meet lifetime Sunday mornings, 9:30. If you live in the area, if you really hurry, you can still be part of the potluck. Hear the call to worship. It's from Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This awesome God, this God is the one that invites us to worship Him in the splendor of His holiness. Let's stand and sing to His glory, number 648, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 648, standing to sing. Father, we just sung about this love divine, all loves excelling. There's absolutely nothing that compares to or that even could exceed the love you have for us. It humbles us, and that's why we've come to worship you and to praise you and to lift up your name. I pray that through the power of your Spirit, this service be really meaningful, that you'll touch each person's heart as only you can do. You know what's going on in each person's heart, and your Spirit can go there. Would you comfort? Would you strengthen? Would you convict? Would you do whatever you see fit, all to the honor and glory of your name? And so our prayer is that this service then will rise as a sweet aroma into your heavenly throne room, praising you because you are worthy. You are our God. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Paul, and so really good to have you back, and we do miss you through the summer. I know we all need a little break, rest our voices, all that stuff, but it's good. It's good to have you back, and certainly enhances the service, and what a blessing. And I thought about, this is a better start than last year. We won't go into that. Oh. Yeah, at least you're walking. That's exactly right. Yeah, you're very welcome. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, I just want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. First, we want to remember Betty Holmes. We had a prayer chain on her late in the week yet, where she was admitted to St. Mary's Hospital, or Trinity Healthcare, and she was discharged. do pray for Betty. This has been just a really hard, long road for her. And like she says, it's almost like they don't know what to do with me. Things get bad. I go to the hospital. They have me there for a couple days, then they send me home again. And there's this whole cycle that just keeps repeating. And it's been really hard on her. So just pray for Betty and her spirits and that she keeps feeling the presence of the Lord, even as we do pray that there could be intervention that would bring some relief. Kay DeVries spent some time at Trinity Healthcare this past week, and she's recovering at home. Is real thankful for your prayers and is feeling better, and real hopeful that things will keep progressing in a positive way. And then Don Oppenheisen, he had that knee replacement surgery this past Wednesday. Things looked really good at first. And then yesterday they spent the afternoon in ER. Where the surgery was is just a lot of bleeding. And so he was discharged again or sent home. But they're dealing with that. And so keep Don and Shirley in prayer at this time too. And then I just talked to Marty and her son-in-law, Tim Sees, had scans this past week, and the scans are really stable. And so just really thankful, because Tim had just a really critical diagnosis earlier this year, and it was pretty scary. And so a lot to be thankful for to get these scans back that look stable. And then as a congregation, we extend our condolence to Doug Vandermeer and his family in the passing away of his wife, Judy. And some of his family is here with him yet this morning, and that's a blessing. That funeral was yesterday, and we want to continue to uphold Doug and his family in prayer at this time as well. And then one other announcement. In the bulletin, you see there's a little announcement there about Brian Bruxford. He's one of our missionaries that we support. He and his wife do aviation ministry work up in Alaska, and it's his birthday on September the 22nd. And I think, just like we are so blessed when we get all these cards in our mailboxes, it would be a tremendous blessing for Brian and his wife if they too were just inundated with all kinds of birthday cards as we remember them. And also in the bulletin is a letter from them and their work in Alaska. Very interesting, so I do hope you take time to read that. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we kneel before you in our hearts to praise and worship you. You've invited us for such a time as this to come together as a family. We call it corporate worship, to lift up your name and glorify you. That's why we sing. And we pray that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith and fill us with love that surpasses knowledge, the love that comes from a personal relationship, and that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a bold request. We would be foolish to ask that, except that you invited us to do so. We ask that you would cover us in your life-cleansing blood that opens the way for our adoption into the family of God. We worship you because you alone can make that happen. What joy! We pray for those who don't worship you. So many walk their own pathway, which leads to destruction. Our prayer is, Father, that you would rescue them from the evil one, and may they experience the blessing of walking with you. As we pray for spiritual needs, we also want to pray for those dealing with health issues. And we remember Betty Holmes, Robert DeYoung, Pam Van Beek, Barb Ish, Brian Herwire, Jim Verstrat, Joy Stulp, Kathy Misiak, Joanne Sleeth, Emily Dreyer, Don Oppenheisen, Fran Schuling, Kay DeVries, Brent Kirkstra, Dan Leich, Dave Heuvelhorst, Lynn Helen, Ron Osteich, Larry Rudnick, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Tim C., and David Conrad. We give thanks of Ashley and Nate and the birth of a healthy baby boy, but then we also pray for healing for Ashley as she took this tumble shortly before the baby was born. And will you give them both strength for today, strength for the journey, as they have a six-year-old and now a newborn baby? I just pray that you surround them with your presence. And then there's lots of unspoken needs, things that people are dealing with, and we know that you know each particular situation and each person's need. And so we bring that before you too, that your presence will truly make a difference. We pray for folks dealing with emotional struggles, be it dementia, Alzheimer's. We think of folks dealing with things like schizophrenia, bipolar, anxiety, depression, all those things that steal joy, that make life just difficult. And we also ask a special prayer for the caregivers, those who come alongside of that, often step in the gap, that pick up the slack, that take care of the needs that aren't being met through other means. Thank you for relationships. One of the blessings of relationships is that we can come alongside of each other and strengthen each other, encourage each other, walk beside each other. Your word is real clear. Two is better than one. And so we thank you for the way you have orchestrated that. We also know relationships can be really challenging, and so we pray that you help us to do them well within our own families, within the areas where we work, our leisure, school, and then within our church family. Help us, Father, to be loving, kind, supportive, and encouraging to one another, and especially help us to uphold one another in prayer. Prayer is really the most powerful tool that we have. Help us to use it in an abundant way. We pray for your strength for those in nursing homes, those who are homebound, assisted living. This morning we remember Marv Nienhuis, and we remember too that Marv's wife's funeral was just past Friday. We pray for special grace for him at this time. And then we pray for Brett Roberts. And as Don Winald is on hospice care, will you sustain him and Judy and that family? And then we pray for those who are grieving and ask your presence to comfort Doug Vandermeer and his family and Judy's passing. We ask, Father, that your spirit will surround them in such a way that they just feel your loving arms upholding them. We pray for our nation, a nation that is so divided. We think of the violence in our land and pray for the Ukrainian lady's family that was cast into grief, for Charlie Kirk's family as he was gunned down along with other school shootings. We know that violence runs rampant in our nation and that the father of that is the great deceiver who only offers death and destruction. We plead with you, the Prince of Peace. May there be a new spirit of harmony in our land. And we acknowledge that that can only happen if there's a revival in the land where you soften hearts, where you change attitudes, where you mold and refine us. Let us not forget the principles we were founded on and that you blessed. Our prayer is that we may not lose our freedom of speech, to be able to exchange ideas amiably. Your word does teach us that not all ideas are equal, and that in your word we find foundational truth. Many people want to say there is no truth. Father, your word speaks different. You tell us you are the truth. May we never squander the freedom that we have to worship, and give us the courage not to be silent when we should speak. We know your spirit is always at work. We trust that. Sometimes you allow us to be part of it. Sometimes you allow us to see it. But we must never question that your spirit is at work, both here and around the globe. And to that end, we pray for Joshua and Allison Perkins as they serve in the Middle East. We would pray that you would bless all those who serve away from home, the Jensens in Japan, the Bruxfords in Alaska, the Vlassens as they travel to different parts of the world. And then we think of just this past week, the horrible persecution that happened in Nepal. And Words of Hope, one of the arms of the Reformed Church, very instrumental there, just seeking prayers for that nation as there is so much hostility at this point to the gospel. Thank you for the church. We know that the local church is the hope of the world. May she stay faithful to the truth of your word and not compromise with the culture. You alone are the way. You alone are the truth. You alone are the life. This coming Saturday, as our consistory meets, we pray for your spirit's presence there, that you would lead and guide and direct. Give us soft hearts. May there be a spirit of unity and harmony. And will you go before us so that we would honor you in how we conduct the affairs of the church. And as the fall season starts, may we use our time wisely. May you be central to how we worship, study, and live our lives. We ask a blessing on kickoff Sunday as well as our fellowship meal. Will you create a hunger in our hearts for your word in the same way that we have a hunger for the good food that we eat the rest of the day? Will you do more than we can ask or imagine as your power works in and through us? And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing from hymn number 568, singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. May the mind of Christ my Savior, standing to sing. We should have sang all the verses. I didn't think about that. That would have been a good idea. But as they are returning to their seats, this would be a good time. We'll get to it in a little bit, but we're going to read from Ephesians, so you'll be ready when we get there. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It's page 1666. That's not a good biblical number, but that is the page it's on. 1666 in your pew Bible. And so we'll also be reading a little bit out of the bulletin. You'll see a couple of verses from that same passage. So keep your bulletins handy too for when we turn to that. Dear congregation, whenever we start something new, say you're a little kid, you're going to school for the first time, kindergarten right in there. What's the concern? The concern is, can I do it? How will I measure up with the other kids? Will I be able to pull it off? Am I going to be able to learn to read and to write and to write my name? And then as things progress and things get a little bit more complicated, and then I get a locker and I got that lock on it, will I be able to figure out which way I turn it? And then as it gets a little beyond that, it's like, okay, what am I going to do with history and calculus and chemistry? And then we get classroom rotations, and then I have to write a paper, and there's going to be an exam. Can I do it? Will I be able to manage it? Now, it's not hard to get overwhelmed by the things in life in this world. And the can I do it is a question that we actually live with. And adults also deal with this. The challenges of life. At home, at work, at church, in the community. As I was working on this, I thought, you know what? When I was a kid, I had this kind of, well, now I know it's a delusion, but that adults always knew what to do. Because if you asked them, they always had an answer. And it seemed like they were just pretty confident and pretty calm. And in any situation, they knew what the answer was or how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to do. I realize now none of that was true. Adults worry too. We wonder, do we have the skills to compete in the marketplace? Will I have the physical or emotional strength for what lies ahead? And then for the changes in life from after graduation, and then lots of people get married, and then you have children, and how am I going to do that? Raising a family, will we be able to make ends meet? Do you know what tennis shoes cost? And then there's all these progressions. And then there's times the job changes, and you got a relocation, and then we deal with illnesses, and then death. Can I survive all of this? We all have areas where we feel weak, where we feel vulnerable and uncertain. We all have fears. Can I do it? And am I good enough? So how about, am I a good enough Christian? Am I a good enough Christian? This is a nagging doubt for many people. And especially I found that in visiting with older people, it's like, well, getting closer to the finals. Am I a good enough Christian? Am I being good enough, doing enough? Are my good works good enough? And in our minds then, we often feel like, okay, I'm just falling short. There's always more that I could have done. It's kind of gloomy and depressing as I think about that. And so this whole lead-in, after listening to this, what we need is some good news. So we're going to read from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. I already told you it's page 1666 in your pew Bible. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Hear the word of God. For this reason, and this is Paul writing this, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a beautiful passage. It's really a passage of encouragement. It ends with a benediction, God's blessing, His gift to us. And I thought it's a great inspirational passage for kickoff Sunday, for the start of the fall season. And the passage opens with this line, for this reason. It's the third time Paul has used that line already in these three chapters, and without reading the preceding chapters, I want to tell you, it's a rich book. The depth of Ephesians really cannot be mined. You can keep going back to it, and it's like, oh wow, I didn't catch this the last time, or look at this, or look at that, and this is so amazing, and this is so true. And it refers to all God has done for us. Always remember that when you read the Scriptures, it's our story. We are in it. And it's what He has done for us, His people. It's really His liberation plan. The perfect sacrifice made by Christ, and then those work to create unity. You know, God is all about unity. Unity and harmony, that's what He always desires to have happen, especially amongst us, the believers, His family, the family of God. The book of Ephesians has the promises of all the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. And the riches start with being covered in his blood. And then it talks about the mystery of faith unlocked. And Paul says, yes, this is the stuff that the Old Testament people really wanted to know about, but were confounded by. And now it's been revealed to us. And the greatest thing, of course, it ends with the promise of eternal life. That's the hope within us. If this life was all there was, it would just be despair. Paul is right where he writes other places. Just eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you're going to die. What's the sense? But no, we have a hope that goes beyond this life. So Paul starts, for this reason. And then he kneels, he prostrates himself before God the Father. It's a position of reverence. We just had a funeral at a Catholic church. And you know, there is something about the kneeling benches. To just kneel before the Heavenly Father. A spirit of humility and submission. Remembering that he is our Creator. He is our Redeemer and he is our Sustainer. That without him, we are nothing. He is the one who gives us our name and our identity. In our current culture, we talk a lot about identity politics. The reality is, the truth is, we will never find our true identity until we know Christ. John Calvin talked about that quite a bit too, 500 years ago. He said, until you know God, you cannot know yourself. Our identity is in our Creator. And when we look for our identity in any other way, we will never find it. That's the reality of the truth that we live in, that much of our culture denies. And he says, God gives us our name. Our family name is Christian. We are Christians. We belong to the family of God. That's our last name, Christ followers, Christians. And Paul's prayer is that we would be strengthened. And if you're following along, that's in verse 16. And why does he ask that we would be strengthened? Because we can't do it on our own. Where I started with that question, am I good enough? Can I do it? The answer is no, you can't. We can't do it on our own. God has to strengthen us. We are not capable. And he says we're strengthened by the knowledge of his glorious riches. In other words, we look at all the abundance and the power and the things that God can do, and that strengthens us. And we say, wow, what an amazing God we serve. I think many times our God is way too small and he can't do much. And we pull him out when things are kind of going bad and we hope he comes through, but we're not sure. And we really shortchange who he is. So the knowledge of his glorious riches, well, on a daily level, when he gives us our daily bread, he gives joy in our hearts, contentment, peace in broken, and peace and hope in a broken world, eternal life. I mean, I could make huge lists, but that's just in a little synopsis of blessings from our Heavenly Father. He's the only one that can give us these things. Anyone else who tries to give us these things or any circumstances that try to do, it's always time limited. And then, you know, if you ever lived in a wild life, Friday nights can be really crazy. You think this is better than anything I've ever had. Saturday's kind of a downer. It cannot sustain itself. God is the only one that can do that. The blessings from our Heavenly Father. And the intent is that we would keep our eyes on him because he's the giver. He's the giver of these wonderful gifts, and that we are mindful of the glorious riches that he mines and then hands out to us. So often we forget the abundance of God and we focus on the meager things that we bring to the table, our own stuff, our own plans, our own abilities. And that's when the fears come in. Can I do it? Am I good enough? Will I survive this? See, the intent is, and this comes through in this passage, that we would be strengthened in our inner being. That's our core being, who we are, our conscience, our self, where our spirit of discernment is. It's actually the place where the inner battles take place. And the purpose here is to be able to discern right from wrong. It really is the foundation for our value system. the foundation for a world life view. And so often, I'm not saying all self-help books are bad, but I am going to say that a lot of them aren't beneficial. Because we can't heal ourselves. We need someone external, bigger than us, who can bring hope and restoration. And that's only God who can do that. So to become sensitive to the things of God, we have to have the desire and the will to do what is right. To open our hearts to that, to have Him to refine us and mold us. And when that happens, that's evidence of God working in our hearts. That's faith, God's gift to us. And Paul then prays that we will have power. Do you ever pray that you will have power? Real power? Holy Spirit type power? I know that's not a real common theme in the Reformed Church. I think we're lacking. We should pray about that a lot more. And in Luke, Jesus teaches that. He says, ask. Ask that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul prays that we will have power. Power together of all the saints. All the saints. That's us. God's holy people. Saints, the people of God. In that line, though, we're reminded we are not lone rangers. Nowhere biblically do you get the implication that being a Christian means you're a lone ranger and you just do it by yourself. The Bible speaks over and over that we are part of the family of God, that we need each other, we support each other, we encourage one another, we come together to worship corporately. It is all doing things together. So this underscores the importance of participating in the life of the local church. The first thing we participate in, the first thing that is of primary importance is we participate in worship. That's of primary importance, to worship God our Creator. There is nothing that can be substituted for that. But then we get into the other things. Of course, today it's easy to bring up because we got kickoff Sunday and the potluck. And then there's other things, though, learning together, singing together, praying together, serving together. And serving together is huge. It's like ushering and greeting and serving coffee and cleaning the sanctuary and teaching Sunday school. There's no end to that. And the people that do clean up, all of that stuff. Why do we do these things? We're family. We are part of the family of God, and this is our place where we come together as family. And in this family setting, this is where we get to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ for us. And the answer, of course, is there's no bottom to that, and there's no sides to that, and there's no height or depth to that that can be measured. The love of God is so amazing and so overwhelming. It is so vast and so complete. The passage we read in verse 19, it says, this love surpasses knowledge. And sometimes we think, oh yeah, people who've been to school and who read theological books, they probably have all of that. No. Not at all. Sometimes it separates them from it. You know, Scripture teaches a little learning is dangerous. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. The love that this passage is talking about is the love of Christ we experience when we are in relationship with Him, when we have that personal relationship. There is no way I could explain to you how grand His love for us is. But I do pray that I and you, that we will be filled by it, filled to what we read in this passage 19, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You ever pray that? Lord, would you fill me to the measure of all the fullness of God? I mean, isn't that a completely different prayer than just, God, help me get through the day. I pray that too. God, help me get through the day. All of that stuff. But to pray this boldly, Father, fill me to all the measure of the fullness of God. Perhaps you're thinking, yeah, the preacher was pretty excited this morning. Maybe that stuff works for him. I don't know about me. Maybe this was something my parents had or my grandparents, a Sunday school teacher. But me? That's why we put this verse in the bulletin. I ask you to turn to your bulletins right now. This is a bulletin, a scripture passage. I'm going to encourage you to memorize. I'm going to encourage you to memorize it because it is so upbuilding. It's a verse of encouragement. Let's read it together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's also a benediction. We'll use it as a benediction even this morning. But look at this passage a little bit closer. Now to him, that him, of course, is a reference to God. So now to God, who is able to do. See, it doesn't talk about what we do, but what God does. That's where we get our comfort, but also where we get our strength. Moses couldn't have crossed the Red Sea with the Israelites if it wasn't because of God's power. David could not have killed the Goliath, the giant, with his little sling and one stone if it wasn't for the power of God. Elijah could not have called down fire from heaven to burn up not just the sacrifice, but the altar and everything around it if it wasn't for the power of God. And John wouldn't have seen the end of time, the book we call Revelation, if it wasn't for the power of God. It's always the power of God. It's never ours. It's always the power of God. Now, this world is a frightening place. And we know the prince of darkness is the ruler of this place. It's dark and it's frightening and it's not safe. We saw that this week in the news. We saw that story about it happened in August with the Ukrainian refugee murdered on a train in Charlotte. No reason. How do you make sense of that other than to say that sheer wickedness, that's the manifestation of evil that only comes from the pit of hell. There is no other source. And then, as Charlie Kirk was killed by an assassin bullet because some didn't like the message, and his message really was Bible truths confronting the culture. And then we have the school killings or some shootings in Colorado. This is wickedness running rampant. How are we going to live? How are we going to navigate? How are we going to survive in this culture if we don't do it in the power of God? If we don't do it in the power of God, we're not going to survive. We're not going to have the courage to stand. This is wickedness running rampant, but it's not new. I can go all through history, but I'm just going back 500 years. Martin Luther penned this, the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He said, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed. What has he willed? His truth. That's why we always got to hang on to what is truth. His truth to triumph through us. Feel powerless? Wondering, can I do it? Am I good enough? Remember, we serve a God who defeated sin and death and hell, and he invites us to live in his power. That's why this is such a key thought in this passage. To him who is able. It's not like, well, to him who I hope he can do it. I hope he's able. He's got not a bad track record. No, to him who is able. It's a guarantee. It's a God we can trust. To God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. There is no limit to the power of God. No limit. I could take you back to the creation story, and we see it there, but I'm just going to go back to chapter 1 in Ephesians, verses 19 and 20, to grasp the power of God. Hear the word of God. Paul writing, God's incomparably great power for us who believe. For us who believe. For us who are part of the family of God. That power is like the working of his mighty strength And this is the example which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Is that an amazing thing? Easter Sunday, we celebrate it. We stand in awe. And in essence, what is being said here is that that power that raised Christ from the dead, God will use that power to work in our hearts and our lives. And that's overwhelming. Maybe part of you says, I don't even want that kind of power. But this is what the scriptures tell us. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ, which he, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. That's Ascension Day. Power beyond anything we can imagine. And if we believe the scriptures, it says that this is available to us. So when we feel we can't do things, I'm thinking we're too inward focused. We're just looking at what I brought. And you know what? The truth of it is, in our own strength, we can't do it. That's the reality. We always turn to God because that's who we lean on, that's who we depend on, and he's the one that equips us. Just looking at ourselves manifests our own limitations rather than the one who can do, what did we read? Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Okay, it goes beyond what, however wild your imagination is, the scriptures teach that God's power goes way beyond anything you can ask or imagine. Our God is so big, and we always try to kind of trim him down because then he feels manageable. He's not a manageable God. This is the power available when we depend on him. There's lots of times I wonder how I shortchange what is available to me by not asking for it. Do I focus too much on the things of this world? My health, my comfort, my protection, success, safety, so that my desires and God's are not the same. See, his are about our daily needs. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But then it's about his kingdom, that his kingdom would come so that he may be glorified through my life. Do you ever think about that? That your main purpose for being alive is to glorify God through your life. Nothing else. There's other things that are secondary, but that's your primary purpose, to glorify God through your life, so that I can surrender everything to his lordship so he can have his way with me. You want to pray something dangerous? Say to God, here, I surrender everything. Do with me what you want. That's a dangerous prayer, but you'll never pray anything more exciting. You'll never have bigger adventures than when you pray, God, do with me whatever you want. Perhaps part of the prayer would be to have more concern for the lost than my own worldly success, that I be prepared to speak of the hope within me. I think one of the sins we maybe don't pray for often is the sin of silence, where we should have said something, we should have spoke up, we should have acknowledged the one we belong to, the one we worship. But we don't. Didn't want to make any waves. It just wasn't the right time. Seemed kind of awkward. I just let it ride. I think the sin of silence. I have to admit, I'm guilty of that. There's times the Spirit even nudged me. Say something. I was like, not right now. The sin of silence is also underestimating who God is. When you have the sin of silence, when I chicken out, I avoid opportunities to speak his name. What I'm really doing is forgetting about his power. I think I'm doing it my own strength, and now I'm scared. Oh, I don't know what to say. Yeah, you're probably right. You don't. The scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. We can trust Him. I forget about His power. And in all things, He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Psalm 115, the opening verse, verse 1, is really special. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory." You ever been in a work setting or something and some of the other people went home early and you stayed late and you finished up and all looked good, and the next day the boss comes in and thanks everybody and the other people are like, "Yeah, we worked hard," and you're like, "No, you didn't. You went home early. I did all this." And it really is frustrating. You ever think God feels that way? Good things happen. Amazing things. And we say, "Yeah, I'm not bad at this. I did pretty good. Yep. Thanks a lot. Thanks for noticing." And God's like, "You didn't do any of that. That was me." I think we got to remember that the God we serve is a holy God, a righteous God, and He's a jealous God. And so He wants the glory and the praise that are due Him. Praise in the church. The church is not a building. Yeah, this is the address and this is the building that we meet in. You are the church. This building is not the church. And so we got to remember that we are the church. And the praise as the church, we praise Jesus for the finished work that He has done. We are the church. We represent Him. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for our King. The church was established to go out and tell others of His love and His mercy, His riches, His power, His victory. And that's something we already live in, the victory. But oftentimes we act like, "Oh, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Like there could be a defeat." It's like, no, the victory is ours. Now we, the church, can only do that when we as members join together in fellowship. This goes back to then, we're not lone rangers, we need each other. We encourage and strengthen one another, we pray for one another, we worship together. And in that way, we experience the limitless love of Christ. That's what we talked about earlier, the height, depth of His love. This is a good Sunday to reassess. How do I want to be filled with all the fullness of God that is promised? Or to make the question even more basic, do you want to be? Would you like to be filled with all the fullness of God that is promised in His Word? See, in this we're reminded our ultimate purpose. Our goal of existence is to praise God, to worship God, to honor God, to live for God, and to tell others about Him. That is living in His fullness, fully surrendered to Him and what He wants to do with us. I often think about, and I pray about, what would 8th Reformed look like if we fully surrendered everything to His Lordship? We have experienced tremendous blessings here. I'm not trivializing, minimizing anything of that. It's been wonderful. God has dealt graciously with us and He's been faithful and good things have happened here. But what would happen if we surrendered everything to His Lordship and said, "Lord, whatever You want to do, have at it. And we're on board." What would that look like? What would happen if we all started praying that in our personal prayers, in daily life? "Lord, what do You want to do at 8th? And how do You want to use me?" Not what do You want other people to do. How do You want to use me in that category? We can do this when we kneel before and submit to Him. Remember who that is. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. And to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this amazing passage that speaks about what you want to offer to us and what you make available to us, and all we have to do is receive it. We just have to receive it. You have done it all. And so we thank you for these words of encouragement. We thank you for what you invest in us and that you really want us to be instrumental players on your team, and that you have good works assigned for us that you already created for us to do in advance, all to your honor and glory. I pray again that you give us open and receptive hearts to respond and then to be faithful to what you would have us do. If there's anything I said that didn't please you, I pray that you would strike that. But for the rest, would you stir our hearts in such a way that we just want to hear your voice and what you want to do with us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 634, Standing to Sing More Love to Thee, 634. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving for the opportunity you give us to give back. We're also aware of the blessings you pour out on us, the abundance that we can't measure. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be stewards. Help us to be cheerful stewards. And then as these gifts are received, we bless a blessing on the deacons. And Father, give them wisdom as they use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. As we pray it in Jesus' name, the greatest gift of all. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 92, the first verse, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And just a reminder, no coffee upstairs today, so just make your way downstairs. There's stairs behind me. There's lots of ways to get downstairs. That place is the only one that has a lift. And just get some coffee there, and then once we're all gathered, we'll have prayer and have our mealtime together. Receive God's parting blessing. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to stay tuned to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service of our website at 8thchurch.org, that's the number 8thchurch.org, until next Sunday at 9:30. It's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.